For sure. That for whatever reason, it feels like the Wednesdays that I preach, it's just like Wednesdays are like, I'm going to give you a day. So anyways, it's fine day. We made it through. But anyways, came in ripping and roaring, I guess. So, but anyways, we're excited to be here, excited to see what the Lord has for us tonight. We are excited about adding another one. Michael's praying for a boy, and we're praying against him. So right now it's 2-1. So maybe you pray and help us to see. Well, I guess the Lord already knows, you know. But anyways, no, we are excited. It was funny that when Michael was born, we were right in the middle of COVID whenever we found out that we were pregnant, which during a pandemic, don't have a baby. It's not that fun. But it was funny because we were doing live stream service during that time. And so I had told my parents, and my dad was like, all right, well, why don't you just pray? Because it was like my dad, my brother, and I. And that was it in the auditorium for church time, and we were just broadcasting it. And he's like, well, why don't you just pray and have an announcement and afterwards? And we're like, okay. So we announced that we were having Michael over live stream, and it was literally, I was like, and Lord, thank you for this service we just had. Amen. We're going to have a baby. Walked off. That was it. So it's kind of my thing, I guess. So anyways, all right. All right. Well, we got a little review to do, a little review. So I didn't realize I'd have to specify this last week, but if you'd like to answer a question, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll call upon you, all right? Going back to remember the 5 rules of junior church, sit up straight, hands in your lap, feet still, eyes on. Okay, no, okay. All right, number one, Nehemiah worked for who doing what? 2-part question. Nehemiah worked for who doing what? Yep. Okay, Artaxerxes. All right, very good. Here we go. Linda, you ready? All right, very good. Okay, I wanted to make sure. You don't want to hit the ladies in the church right in the head, all right? No good. Bad way to start the service. All right, what was Nehemiah sad for? What was Nehemiah sad for? Money? All right, Jax, what was he sad for? That's right. That's right, the state of Jerusalem, all right, and that it was torn apart, right? All right, what did Nehemiah do before answering the king? What did he do? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Christina? That's right, he prayed, all right? Very good. All right, he prayed. Why was Artaxerxes willing to help Nehemiah? It's not a setup question, right, but just think about it. Why was Artaxerxes willing to help Nehemiah? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Lily? Perfect. That's right. That's right. I wrote 2 things. Because God's hand was upon him. Remember that? Very specifically, because God's hand was upon him and because he was a good worker. All right? All right. Here we go. All right. Very good. All right. That's where people start getting hit in the face when we go long distance. So none of that. All right. Very good. Who did the king send with Nehemiah? When he headed back, who did he send with him? Anybody? Okay. It was a group of people. Okay, not quite. Anybody? Okay, it was the captains of the army and horsemen. Went with him, all right? Captains of the army and horsemen. All right, I'll keep that one for me. No. All right, very good. Okay, now this is where we're getting into last week. That was all previous. Number 6, who were the 3 people that opposed the work? 3 people in particular that our passage talked about. 3 people. Starts with a... Okay, yes, Brother Brad. Okay. Right? All right. So say about was, he was, He was the Hornite. And then Tobiah. And then there was another one. Yes, that's right. That's right. All right, Brother Brand. Very good. That's where you got to throw the Russian scuds, right? Up and over. All right. How many days was Nehemiah in Jerusalem before he told anybody anything? Yes, sir, Brother Don. 3 days. That's right. That's right. All right. We'll get it. Very good. 3 days. What was the people of Jerusalem's response to Nehemiah's presentation of rebuilding the wall? What was the people's response? Somebody? Anybody? They were joyful. That's right. They were happy. Okay. They said it this way, let us rise up and build. Okay. So he presented it and they said, let us rise up and build. Wait, you got a Kit Kat already. All right, here we go. Ready? Okay, very good. All right, two more questions. What was the enemy's response to hearing that they were going to rebuild? What was the enemy's response? It was something in particular. Some people like to do this when they're nervous. Anybody got it? Who? What was it? What? Hey, that'll work. Sure. Yeah, they laughed him to scorn. All right, very good. Very good. Ugh. All right, close. At least it wasn't in the face. All right, very good. Now, last question was this. Who did Nehemiah say would prosper them? Who did Nehemiah say would prosper them? Got another box. Yes, sir. Brother Don. God in heaven. That's right. The God of heaven. All right, I forgot to open it. I'll give it to you afterwards, all right? I forgot to open the box. Okay. All right. Now, as we think about that, running up to it, now here it is that what we've reached is now it's time to work. All this has been prep, okay? God was getting a hold of Nehemiah. He worked through Artaxerxes. You remember that Artaxerxes ended up saying, what do you want? He prayed. He said, you know, okay, this is what I want. He says, you got it. Done. Anything else? You know, pretty much the attitude there. And so then Nehemiah took off. He went to Jerusalem. He got there for 3 days. He didn't tell a soul about why he was there. That one night, you remember, he went around and did his survey trip around the city, just making sure that what was going on and exactly kind of the game plan. And nobody else knew it. There were sections in particular that the Bible talks about that he was riding on a beast and he couldn't even fit through all the rubble and all the mess. And so then it ended up, he continued his survey. He came back and he said, all right, folks, here's what God has done. He's put his hand on me. And I don't believe that he said that in pride. I don't. All right. Nehemiah didn't say it in pride, but just said, hey, God's hand is on me. He sent me here to do this work. And so he says, we need to rebuild the walls. And the people said, let's rise up and build. Let's do it, right? So we talked about the fact that anytime you're trying to do a work for God, there's going to be some resistance, right? The fact of the matter is that if we don't have any resistance, we might see whether we're doing a work for God, right? Satan doesn't want to bother us if we're not doing anything. And so we talked about different things like that. Let's see here. We talked about the fact that we need to consistently take time to make sure that God is leading us. Even when we're in the midst of working, that God is still leading us. We don't want to miss it each step. So where He leads, I will follow, right? You remember that song that we sing sometimes? Wherever He leads, I'll follow. And that's what it was. And so then the guys, of course, were getting excited. Here we are. Let's rebuild. And that's kind of where we'll pick up tonight. So let's actually read the last verse of chapter number 2. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're going to preach. It took us, 3 weeks to get through chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we're going to do 3 and 4 tonight. And I'm not going to read it all because you would really make fun of my hick when it comes out to saying all these different names. Okay? All right? So we're going to give it our best shot. But let's begin reading verse number 20 of chapter 2. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we His servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with the brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it, and set up the door of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Benaiah. All right? Now, I'm going to stop right there. But here's what continues through chapter number 3. The entire chapter of number 3 is this. It literally started with these guys at the first, that the Eliashib, the high priest, they rose up and they built. And chapter 3 is literally that it says, next to him was this group. And next to them was this group. And next to them was this group. And literally goes around the city saying, hey, these are the people. This is where they're working. And they do, it just literally goes through all these people that are doing a work. Now, some of them were from Jerusalem. Some of them were, not all of them. It talked about that some were from Jericho. And there were places right around Jerusalem where people would come in just to help, to do the work. And yet what it was is that each person was doing their part, doing their part. No one person, Nehemiah, could not rebuild the entire walls of Jerusalem. He couldn't build all the gates. He couldn't do all that on his own. But what it took was each person just doing their part, and they would go around. So that's what chapter 3 is, all right? So let's skip over to chapter 4. Chapter 4 in verse number 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He didn't have much confidence in their wall-building ability, right? If a fox goes up, it'll crumble, right? But verse number 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now we're going to pause our reading right there. As I mentioned, we're going to finish chapter number 4 as well. But let's pause right there. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us, and we thank you for all that you've done and are doing. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, I know each and every person has had a busy day through one thing or another. And yet, God, I pray that you'd bless them for their effort of being here. God, I pray that you'd help us. God, I know my mind at times on a Wednesday night is running a million different directions. And unfortunately, many times it's not towards you, Lord. So I pray that you'd help me. Pray that you'd help us all to rein in our minds and help us to focus in on you. God, I do pray that you'd give us strength and give us help to be awake and alert, that we could hear from you tonight. God, I just pray that you'd use me as an instrument. God, I pray that that you just help me to say the words that are helpful and that you would have me to say. And so, God, again, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather in the middle of the week, that we could come and just get a refresh, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we begin, one of the favorite phrases that I have in the book of Nehemiah is when it always goes back to, and the people had a mind to work. And really, I mean, when you think about rebuilding walls, there's only really one word that comes to mind, and that is work. It's work. It's work to build. Not only that, but of course they had to move out the rubbish. Many times it references the fact that there was rubbish and the destruction that was there. And they had to clear that out so they could build upon it. But either way you look at it, it was just sacrificial work. And so we're just going to kind of jump into it to get us to where we're at right now. But I just want us to be reminded tonight that, number one, that God blesses work. You know, I think of many times somebody will say, oh, don't say that four-letter word, right? Work, all right? You guys look weird. Whoa, I thought we were at church. No, right, yeah, but sometimes it seems like work is a bad word, right? And let me just go back to Genesis. Don't worry, we're not going to go from Genesis to Nehemiah. But let's just go back to Genesis and be reminded that God gave Adam a job before the fall, all right? Many times it's like, well, you know why we got to work? Well, because Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Well, actually, God gave Adam work before the fall, before they took of the fruit. Remember, he was to dress and to keep the Garden of Eden. And we're reminded all the way through that God rewards work. I'm reminded of 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And we got to be reminded that God blesses work. Now I know that there's a danger here, but generally speaking, right from the get-go, is that God blesses work. You know, and so when it's time to do something, you know, God did a great work in Nehemiah's heart, but it showed out and showed up in his hands. Does that make sense? That God did a work in his heart, but yet at the same time, there was a time that he had to pick up a trowel, he had to take a trip to Jerusalem, he had to lead these people that were in a mess, that were scattered abroad. And yet, I mean, if you've dealt with two people, you know that even dealing with people is work. And so when we think about it, is we got to be reminded that, hey, that at times God will do a work in our hearts, and he should. Like when we come to church, you know, and the word is preached, and God just stirs our heart, and we see, man, I need to start doing that, or I need to quit doing that, and he does something in our hearts. Folks, listen, it's got to start showing up in our hands and in our actions as well, because God blesses work. And many times, there's a business in Borger, Texas, a town real close to my hometown. Anyways, and the business is, it's Tuit. Tuit. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's a circle, and they give out Tuits all the time. It's a round Tuit. They'll get around Tuit, right? They play on words, but sometimes that's how it works, you know. God speaks to our hearts, and well, I'll get around to it one of these days. But listen, when God does a work in our heart, it needs to show up in our day-to-day activities. And in what we hear on Sunday needs to show up on Monday, because God blesses work. And there's time and time again where we see that people's testimony was furthered because of their work ethic. Right? There were so many people. Think about Daniel, right? Daniel had a really good relationship, kind of like Nehemiah and Artaxerxes. He had a great relationship. And why was it? Well, because he was a great worker. And we've talked about this, but just be reminded that God blesses work. That up to this point, most of the work that God had done through Nehemiah was a work of the heart, but now we're getting to where it's coming out of his hands, and it's time to roll up his sleeves. Work wasn't a part of the curse, but it's something that God has given us to do. When God does a work in our hearts, man, it's got to show up. It's got to show up. So here it is, that God blesses work. I know sometimes it's a pain in the neck to go to work, but you got to be reminded that, hey, work is what God would have me to do. Any good thing that happens, it's not going to happen just by natural things, right? That's why we would say evolution is pretty easy to disprove, right? Just go build a house and then let it sit there and see what happens. It's not going to get better, right? It's not going to get finished. It's going to dilapidate. It's going to be continue to fall apart, right? And so we just be reminded that God blesses work. He blesses work. Now, second of all, be reminded of this. Chapter 3, each one of these people, they're literally standing in their place. Okay? And here's what we want to look at is this, is that there's a work for all to do. Is that there is a work for all to do. All through chapter 3, we find these people were side by side standing in and doing the work. There was carpenters, there was bricklayers, there was brick carriers, there was debris movers, there was guards, there was people gathering food, there was people preparing food, and all of them were doing the work that they could do and doing their part. There's a part for all of us to do. Now, I understand that even on Sunday when we dealt with fighting together, we kind of dealt with this, so we won't labor on it too long. But I'd just be reminded that we go back to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and talk about the fact that God has gifted each one of us in different ways. And the whole point is that we can contribute, that we can have a part in the work. There's a reason why you're at Central Baptist Church tonight, is the fact that God has placed you here. And that's how we should look at it. And He put us here to be fitly joined together. And that is that we all just get into our place and we do a work. You have a place. You have a part. And many times what happens is we start looking at other people's parts, or we start downgrading the part that God has given us to do. I say this all the time. Listen, if everybody in here was called to be a Sunday school teacher, who would we teach to? If everybody in here was just called to do one thing, it would kind of be like we're a giant eyeball just rolling down the street. Well, how are you going to move around, right? Or, well, where's your hands? Or, you know, where's your feet? Where's whatever part? And so remember that God puts us together as a church. He puts us as a body, and that we all function together. And remember that when one part doesn't work, it doesn't function to its greatest capability. You see, what happened here, and I'll tell you this because it leads us into the next one, but don't worry, we're not done with this one yet. But in verse number 5, we find this group, and next unto them, Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Now, here's the interesting thing. You ready? In all of the book of Nehemiah, at the end, they get off track, and we'll deal with that in a little bit. Well, multiple weeks. But we'll get there. But ultimately this, these are the only ones in the whole book of Nehemiah that said, we're not going to help. So you know what we would say? They're famous. No, we'd say it like this. They're infamous. They're the one group. These nobles. Now, whether it was because their city was about 11, 12 miles away from Jerusalem, maybe because these noblemen, maybe they took a little bit of, if we strengthen Jerusalem, you know, something can happen. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate because the Bible doesn't say, and so I'm not going to say, but I can tell you this, that these are the groups, these noblemen, they're the ones who said, nah, we're not going to help. But that's it. Everybody else just stood in their place and did the work that God had given them to do. Listen, it takes everybody. It takes everybody. How does it take 52 days to build the walls around an entire city? How does that happen? Well, it happens whenever each person stands in their place and does the work that God has given them to do. We're reminded, hey, there is no little work when it comes to the work of the Lord. You remember in the New Testament that you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, the disciples, oh man, I'm the man. Lord, let me sit at your right hand. Oh, well, I don't want to ask him. I'll send my mom to ask him. No, but literally they're fighting. Lord, where am I going to be sitting in the kingdom? Where am I going to be at, right? And you know what Jesus talked about at one point? He said this, hey, if you've given a glass of water to somebody, you remember that? If you give a glass of water to somebody in my name, hey, that's the work for me. That's a work for me. And so when we come to a church and the work that has to be accomplished, it takes all of us. And you may say, well, I can't do that. You know, Saturdays when we go to Grow, some would say, well, you know, I'm just not physically able to go on Grow on Saturday. And I'm not saying, well, bless God, you better pull up your bootstraps and get it done one way or another. No, I understand that. Now it is a little condemning whenever some people would love to go if their body would let them and others don't because they don't want to. But I'm just saying that I understand that there's different jobs for all to do. And so when it comes down to it, man, be a part of what you can. So when we're going out on Saturdays and you say, man, I just can't go physically, you know what you can do? You can pray. You can pray. And if we haven't got anything yet, we got to understand, man, prayer is what moves the hand of God. That prayer is a big part. If all we're doing is we're going out and we're putting out flyers, and before we even head out, yeah, we have a word of prayer and those types of things. But man, if we would have a group of folks who just say, I'm not able to do that, but I am able to do this. And at 10:15, 10:30 on a Saturday, man, you're at your house just praying us through. Man, that's a part of the work. That's a part of the work. And great things can be accomplished when everybody's doing their part. And these guys, I mean, these bums are the ones who miss out on all the awesome part about being a part of God's work. And who is it that misses out? Them. The work gets done. It does. It gets work. It gets done, but it gets done without them. And I'm just telling you that God saved my soul, and I owe Him everything. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I'm a debtor. I'm in great debt. Well, what kind of debt are you in? I'm in debt to the fact that God loved me and that God saved me, and I owe Him everything. And here's what I need to do is jump in and be a part. Because everybody's got a part. Don't minimize your part. I can't teach a class. I can't preach a message. I can't do this. But bless God, you find what you can do and get involved, because we need you doing that. We need everybody. Remember the game Red Rover, Red Rover? I kid around at work. If they have a spot, and on Fridays when I'm not driving my normal route, they have a spot, and it's called Rover. And so what they do is they literally park, and they're like, hey, this kid got missed. Go pick him up. So you just roving wherever, right? Well, you know me. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a goober. And so the vehicle I drive when I do that is red, right? And so a couple of Fridays ago, they had me rovering, and I said, hey, they're like, Rover Mark. And I said, Red Rover. They're like, so then she's like, go pick up this kid. Okay, all right. So then this week, you know, it takes me a while to get my rhythm here. And so this week I got the nerve. And so I just said, they're like, Rover Mark. And I said, Red Rover, come on over. All right. But you remember Red Rover? Remember the game? You're standing on opposite sides and that team over there and this team over here. And you start looking down, right? So they, Red Rover, let Mark come on over. And I'm looking. And I'm looking for what? I'm looking for the weak link. That guy plays football. I'm not going through there. No. That guy's a wuss. Yep, going through there. Right? I mean, that's literally what you're doing, right? And what you're doing is you're trying to find the weakest link. You're trying to find a spot to break through. And what happens is the team that catches them all wins the game, right? Now, I know, that's a silly, dumb illustration. But I'm just telling you that as a family, as a church family, listen, we don't want to be missing out on things that come our way because we're not all in our place. There's going to be folks coming through the door. And because we're different personalities and we're different people, there's going to be somebody that'll connect to you that'll never connect to me. And here's the truth. I know I'm not dumb. I know that our church doesn't fit everybody, and I know that there'll be people that'll come and they'll go. Okay. But we sure don't want to miss people who God sends our way because we're not all in our place. And a great work happens in Nehemiah because all the people are in their place, and we're talking about thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people that are all right there. And they're just saying, man, how do we build this huge wall? And Nehemiah says, no, you just build this section. All right, boss, I'll do that. And if each person just does their job, a great work happens. So remember that there's a work for all to do. And don't ever feel like because of my physical ability, because of mental capacity, no. There's a work for all of us to do, and we need to do it. We need to do it. So number three is, as we kind of alluded to, is this: don't be the one that doesn't help. Don't be that guy, right? These guys, man, well, oh, you're doing a work? I'm not doing that. You know, pastor, you want me to do that? You know, that doesn't really just have the ring that I was kind of hoping to serve in. And I was looking for something else. And, yeah, I'm not doing that. You see where we can get in trouble? There can be holes in the wall. So just don't be that guy, all right? We'll suffice it with that. Don't be that guy. But also, as we continue on, now as we looked in chapter number 4, so here it is, everybody's doing their work. We find that Sanballat, they're getting upset because they're looking and they're saying, wow, these folks they're doing something. They're working. They're walling. And they're making fun of them, right? Say about Tobiah, he's like, ah, the fox, man, if it comes and tries to even touch the wall, right? If, what was it? Three pigs, right? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, right? Okay. No, and so they're saying, ah, they're not doing anything. This isn't serious. They'll get over it, you know, and that type of thing. And here it is that they actually begin to start rumors. Now, what I'll tell you in chapter number 4 is that what happens is that they start the work, that everybody's in their place, and it's going on. And Sanballat and Tobiah, man, they're upset. They're angry. They're full of wrath, right? So they're angry, and so here's what they say. Guess what? There's still some holes in this wall, and we're going to sneak in there, and we're going to kill it. That's what they say, right? That's what he says. Sanballat said, man, there's some holes in this wall, and it's not complete. And it's not finished, and we're going to sneak in there, and we're going to have our way with the city. And so, ultimately, is they try to make sure that the right people hear this. So they send it through the rumor mill, right? It would have been Campbell County Facebook page. No. Okay. All right. No. Right? It would have been like, hey, send it through the grapevine. You know, tell Sister So-and-so. We'll all know. No. All right. But literally, here it is. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. But the truth is literally they're angry. And what they start doing is they start talking. Okay? They start talking. And so they ended up getting it through the rumor mill. And what happens is that the Jews here, they hear about it. They hear about it. Oh, whoa, these walls aren't finished yet. And this work isn't completed yet. And here's what happens. Ready? The people get fearful. That's what happens. They get fearful. And truthfully, in my own life, and I would see that they're saying, hey, we're going to come kill you guys. This place is not fortified yet. We're going to break through, and we're going to do it. And so what I'm saying is, ultimately, I kind of understand that there be some fear there. I understand that there would be some fear. But the people are fearful, and they're not, what are we going to do, Nehemiah? What are we going to do? Yeah, I mean, we're not done with this work yet, and they're going to come kill us. And so Nehemiah, he brings them back to reality, right? Here's what happens. The people got in their head. You ever get in your head? I was mowing a yard when I was in Fridge, and there was a lady that I knew from church, and I'm mowing, and I wave at her, and I thought I saw her eyes, and I waved at her, and she just went right on by. Now, hey, you know, it's a big deal in Texas when you wave at somebody that they wave back, or else, right? And so all of a sudden, here's what happens, right? I am not normal. I just get paranoid. I'm like, Miss Rita's mad. She's mad. I'm like, what did I saw her earlier today. What did I say to her? Oh, man, what happened? And I just start going over it. I'm like, oh, man, this is how dumb I am. I'm like, man, she's going to call Dad. She's not going to come back to church anymore because I wasn't friendly to her. And I waved, and maybe, I don't know what I did. I talked to her later. I said, hey, Miss Rita, I waved at you. Oh, you did? Oh, I didn't even see you. It's in my head. And it wasn't even reality. But it didn't have to be real. I just had to think it. I believe it's very clear, hey, when the Bible talks about whether if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, right? If it be true, honest, of good report, think on these things. There's a battle going on in our mind, and we got to make sure, hey, we're fortifying our mind. We're making sure that we're thinking the way that God wants us to think, okay? But truthfully, the people just get fearful. They're fearful, and what Nehemiah says to them, what Nehemiah says to him is what he's been saying this whole time and what he's been doing this whole time. So here it is, verse number 8. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Okay? So there it is. But verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah did what Nehemiah has been doing. Here comes another obstacle. Here comes something else. And what does he do? He says, hold on. I see the fear. I hear what you're saying. I hear what they're saying. And we need to pray about it. And we just can't pray too much. It gives us a really good method of doing it. When you feel fearful, pray. Many times that's the farthest thing from my mind. When I get busy, when I get in my head, when I start thinking weird things, and when I start fearing all these things. Again, it goes back to that illustration of Peter. He took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. And so along the way, there'll be struggles. There'll be battles that come our way. And as we mentioned time and time again, let's fight these battles on our knees, asking somebody who can do it, who can change it, right? Stop measuring the mountain and start talking to the one who can move it. And so Nehemiah, he does what he does. And he says, hey, let's pray. There's fear, I get it, but what we need to pray. So nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them night, day and night because of them. So here's what happened. They begin to pray. And their trust was in the Lord. Okay? Their trust was in the Lord. But yet at the same time, they set a watch. They said, okay. They're saying that they're going to come after us, so let's set a watch. So they do. So they have these people that while some are working during the day, others are sleeping. So in that way, at night, they can watch and they can be diligent about watching over their city, and they do that. And so sometimes some are watching through the night, and then during the day, what the Bible talks about now in verse 15 and 16 is the fact that while they were building, this is one of the favorite parts of Nehemiah, is that in one hand they had a trowel, and in the other hand, or on their side, they had a sword, right? They were working and ready for the fight. Both, right? They were working and ready for the fight. So whatever came their way, they were prepared. Again, number one, remember, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, and yet at the same time, doing a work and prepared for a fight. Now that sounds like they were probably working with, I don't know, maybe the armor of God on, right? We dealt with that on Sunday. But it talks about in verse number 16 that some of them, let's just read it. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. In verse 17, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Here's what happened. They continued to work. Is there fear? Yes. Is there an enemy? Yes. We prayed about that. Hey, we prayed about that. We set a watch, and here it is. Get to the work. Continue to work, even through the adversity. Okay? And that's what he reminds them, is that, hey, we got to work, so we'll be prepared for a fight. But beyond that, why I say it in particular, that they still trusted in God, was because in verse number 20, it says, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Don't read it yet. So he says this, while we're working, we're starting to spread out, right? You got a sword on one hip, you got a trowel in one, you got some guys around that are all watching, right? And that's what's happening. And he says, I'm going to have some trumpeters. And if those trumpeters, if they begin to sound, y'all come on in, right? Get on in, and we'll be ready for the fight. That's what he says, okay? And so we got these people who are got their swords on, they got their trowels, we got people who are on watch. Man, we got the trumpeter ready to sound the trumpet, and here's what he says. We'll be ready for a fight. No, he doesn't. He says, our God shall fight for us. Wait, I got a sword. I got a sword. It's a big sword. I even got some armor on. I mean, literally, verse 16 talks about the fact that they got these like coats of chain metal, right? They're wearing armor. I've built a few walls, and it's not been a brick, but I can tell you this much. I don't want to be doing it in chain metal, okay? But they got these jackets. I mean, they're ready for the fight. They are ready to go. And it's not that they're trusting in their sword. It's not that they're trusting in their bows. It's not that they're trusting in their armor. It's not that they're trusting in their wall. They're trusting in their God. You see, many times when I got a sword on my hip, I'm trusting in me. I'm ready. Man, I got red hair. That comes with a little something. Bring it. Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom. We'll find out there's some others involved too. Bring it. I'm ready to fight. You know what would have happened if they would have fought and built in their own power and in their own strength? One word. Failure. Failure. Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but I do want to mention it, that every person that was building on the wall, you know that every one of them, their trade wasn't wall building? Now, some of them it was. There were some folks who were skilled in carpentry and brick building. There were some. But most of them weren't. It wasn't a town or a city just filled of only bricklayers. No, it wasn't. There were some folks who did other jobs. Well, you know, I'm skilled in fruits and vegetables. Oh, okay. You know what we need? We need you on the wall. What's a brick? But each one did the work. But here's our last point tonight. Always remember who we're working for. You You see, the folks of Jerusalem weren't working for themselves. I mean, they'll benefit from it. They'll benefit from the fact that their city has walls. But you remember I told you there were some folks from Jericho? There was folks from other places that really they didn't necessarily have a vested interest in the fact that this is their city. But what they remembered is that they were working for their God. Many times we'll get out of whack, get frustrated, we'll get angry in the work because we'll forget who we're working for and we'll forget who this is really all about. We're ready to battle. I kind of think of them as some, maybe, you know, we think, got a trial, I got my sword ready to go, bring it. I think some of these guys were kind of like this. Oh, please don't make me use this. And all the while is the fact that God was going to fight for it. How are we going to accomplish any work? When we get our eyes on Jesus, and remember who we're working for. We remember who's fighting for us. Children of Israel at the Red Sea, remember what Moses told them? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who shut the mouths of the lion for Daniel? It was the Lord. Who was that fourth man in the fire? Him. It was the Lord. If we're going to accomplish anything in our work here, it's going to be because we remember who we're working for and who's really doing the fighting. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. The enemies are trying to scare them, so they start rumors and threats. But Nehemiah reminds them, hey, we're working for God. Greater is He that is in us. Those guys. Greater is the God of the universe than any enemy. Remember who we're working for. It's not me. It's not us. Truthfully, it's not even that we're working for our pastor. It's that we're working for the Lord. And when we remember that, yeah, it does require some work. There are some times that we have to roll up our sleeves. We need to get to work. Yep. We need to be all involved. Every one of us. That we're all involved. Don't be that guy. That's not the work I wanted to do, so I'm not doing that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that lady. And remember, hey, we're doing a work for the Lord. And as we go through this, we're keeping in mind what the big picture is. They were in a mess. The children of Israel are in a mess. Jerusalem is laid waste. The temple's rebuilt, and some of the houses are starting to be rebuilt, but ultimately, we're in a mess. We have no defense. We're in a mess. And God says, if you'll work as I instruct you to, we'll accomplish something. We'll get something done. There'll be our ups. There'll be our downs. But yet, a great work can be accomplished. And we're working for the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us. God, many times I have found myself being paralyzed by fear. And God, yet each time that I've followed you, I've seen you work and do a great work. So God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to follow you. Help us to get to the work that you have for us. Help us all to be involved. But God, help us to never lose sight of who we're working for. who it really is who's defending us, who it really is that's fighting our battles. God, it's you. And I pray that you'd help us as we work to just keep our eyes on you. God, I thank you so much that we get to serve with a group of people here who do work for you, who want to work for you, who are excited about the work that you have for us to do. And we're so thankful, God, that here at this church, it's not about, it's not the feeling that we have just one or two people doing something. God, that there's a lot of folks who are joining in the work, and we thank you for a church that has that type of spirit. God, I pray that you just help us to keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name.